having a good time out there.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Sports Rush. I am Justin Kenny in for Brett Rump. He is Caleb Hatch here for a second hour of the Sports Rush. If you're heading home from work, hey, you made it through a Wednesday. Congratulations. Over halfway through the week right now, and hopefully you're staying warm because it's a bit chilly out. And here's what I don't understand, Caleb. You know, you get up this morning and there's all these delays and stuff, and like between 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock, it was like 2 degrees warmer. So what's the difference? I don't understand.
The whole feels like thing?
Well, okay, like maybe 5 degrees. Like, my wife didn't have school today, which I called them wimps, but at least it was like, okay, it's not going to warm up that much this morning. So the kids standing at the bus stop at 7 doesn't matter if they're doing it at 9. So I didn't really get it in terms of my son had a 2-hour delay. And it was still, we left the house, it was -1, regular temperature.
Usually the standard, at least it was for me growing up, that if it has to be above 0 degrees for kids.
Regular temperature.
Standing at the bus stop.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they have a 2-hour delay. But like you said, I mean, it was 2 below 0 when I got up and checked the weather this morning.
Yes.
It's a balmy 12 degrees now.
And then foreign community schools, they're just hardcore. Like, there's nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
They're like, hey, get to school. You bundle up, you're fine. Which I kind of agree with.
You know, kids walked uphill both ways.
That's right.
You know, 3 miles.
I remember...
blowing snow.
I remember my days in standing at the bus stop and just being absolutely miserable in cold weather or rain or whatever. Just praying that bus would appear so I could get on the bus in the morning. So I've been there and... I don't remember having that many delays for cold. I'm sure like deathly cold we had them, but not for this. But, you know, different era, I guess. So the kids that got to enjoy at least a delay this morning, good on you. But it's supposed to be freezing again tonight. So who knows? We could have the same situation tomorrow morning. But, man, we talked about it. Caleb, January or February, which one was the worst month in the first hour?
And I'll accept either is the correct
answer. Yeah, either is the correct answer. But, you know, we're almost through the dog days of January. And now we have all of February to get through. But one thing we can look forward to, Caleb, is Tin Caps baseball.
Yes, it is. It always makes me hopeful. You know, opening day, spring. Now, granted, I've been to a Tin Caps opening day.
It doesn't feel like spring.
Where it was like 35 degrees and there were flurries. But hey, it's something to look forward to.
Absolutely. Tin Caps single game tickets, it was announced today, will be on sale beginning February 16th. 10 a.m. You can start grabbing your single game tickets. Season starts April 8th at Dayton. Home opener will be Tuesday, April 12th versus the South Bend Cubs at 6:35. You can get those tickets at tincapstickets.com, dialing 260-482-6400, or stop by Parkview Field beginning on February 16th. So single game tickets on sale. Also, fans can save 15% off merchandise in the Orchard Team Store that day, February 16th. So if you drop by in person to get those single game tickets, you can also save some money in the team store. So as of, you know, you look at the upcoming season for the Tin Caps, 66 home games scheduled, including the 4th of July. The Tin Caps will have 25 post-game fireworks shows and, of course, all the promotions that come with it. So you can check out the entire schedule at tincaps.com.
Yeah, and a new manager this season for the first time. And I don't even know how long.
Contreras, well, it's been a minute. Anthony Contreras was there forever.
So Brian Esposito, coming from AAA Indianapolis, part of the Pirates organization, now moving to the San Diego Padres organization, the new manager for the Tin Caps. We actually had him on last week on the Sports Rush, so you can go back on the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you follow your podcast, all for free. You can find that interview with Brian Esposito. I think it was last week on, I want to say that was Tuesday.
It was the day he was hired. I think, yeah, it was Tuesday. So
John Nolan basically carried that conversation because he had all the insight, but it was good to hear from him. And, you know, I think he's looking forward to coming to Fort Wayne. He said he had been here, but not really spent any significant amount of time here. And he's an East Coast guy, so had a little pizza chat there at the end.
Very nice.
So I'm sure he's going to be excited to check out the pizza places in town as well.
Absolutely. Tin Cap single game tickets, they start at just $7. Interested in season tickets or group tickets, those are already on sale with the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. Also holding mascot tryouts are the Tin Caps, Caleb.
Yeah, you or I could be the next Johnny Tin Cap.
Well, yes. I mean, we conceivably, if you want a boring mascot, yes, we could
Wow.
be.
Wow, I feel
attacked. Well, I'm boring. I don't know if you're boring. I can't do any like tricks or flips or anything.
I don't think you need to do that. You just have to be animated and see when you're in the... Have you ever been in a mascot costume before?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
As have I.
Yes. Not my favorite.
I did it a couple times. Very fun because you can just act like an idiot. No one knows it's
you. True. Very true.
So I can just like let my guard completely down and just have fun.
Were you the mascot at Westfield High School?
No. No, I...
Didn't have a giant shamrock costume?
No, we did not. No, when I worked for the Speedway, I was Axel and Allie of the IMS Kids Club one time for like a fashion show or something. It was very fun.
Excellent.
Very much enjoyed it.
Kids love mascots.
They do.
And I'm the only one, I've always said this, I'm the only one over like 11 years old that finds Icy the Eagle at Comets Games hilarious.
Oh, he's very funny.
He's great.
He's great.
Like belly laughing and, you know, pointing out to my wife. My wife's like, you're so stupid. What? It's funny. It's good humor. Whatever. To each his own, I guess. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk to Mark Grody about the latest on the Chicago Bears. Of course, yesterday, the Bears made it official, hiring Ryan Poles from the Kansas City Chiefs as their new general manager, long time with the Chiefs. I think he was the executive player development, had been there for close to 12, 13 years with the Chiefs. Let's hope this Chiefs hire turns out better than Matt Nagy, you know, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs that was the last head coach of the Bears. And Ryan Poles has said the hiring of the next head coach of the Bears will be his final decision. And so we'll see how that shakes up the candidates. Matt Eberflus was interviewing today. Of course, the Colts defensive coordinator, Jim Caldwell, former Colts head coach, is in that conversation. Defensive coordinator Dan Quinn of the Cowboys also among the candidates. Brian Flores, former coach of the Dolphins. So we'll see exactly where the Chicago Bears go. And we'll ask Mark Grody about that around 5:20, about 12 minutes from now. The McDonald's All-American teams were announced, Caleb, and we do have a local representative. Not altogether surprising, with Homestead's Ayanna Patterson being named a McDonald's All-American. She becomes the second area girl to be named to the team, joins Shanna Zolman from Wawasee. Of course, won Indiana Miss Basketball, Ms. Zolman did, played prolifically at Tennessee, went overseas, and I think she may still be playing.
I'm not sure about overseas, but she had a short WNBA career that ended. I think she had an injury one season.
She did,
the next
yeah.
year was cut in camp, and that was kind of it. But Ayanna Patterson, obviously a UConn commit. Big honor for her. Very exciting. Unfortunately, no boys players in the area. I know Fletcher Lawyer was nominated. Was Connor Asesian nominated as well?
I believe so. The nomination list is extensive.
Yes.
For the McDonald's All-American. When I was younger, they would honor players when I would go to games as a nominee, and I used to think that was the All-American thing, but it wasn't. But
not quite. It's a much more exclusive
list. Much more exclusive than the third leading scorer at Northside, for sure. But also, no Big Ten recruits on the boys' list. Notre Dame has one, J.J. Starling, but is that, you know, 1 year, or should it be an area of concern in terms of the Big Ten and talent?
It's, you know, it's hard to tell. Like, it feels like an anomaly, but also you kind of get the sense that the Big Ten needs to adapt in some ways when it comes to basketball. The officiating, I get it. Everyone complains about officiating no matter what. The officiating and how the style of play is, it's very physical until they call a touch foul that decides a game late, which happened the other week. And so I'm curious if people think this is just an anomaly, or if people think this is because Big Ten basketball is not adapted. Look, they haven't had a national champion since Michigan State back in what, 2000?
Man, It has been that long.
Yeah, and granted, Michigan State has made a championship game back in 2009. You have Ohio State 2006. You have, or was that seven? That would have been 2007. You have Michigan in 2013. And is there another recent one that
Michigan State get there again? Maybe not.
I don't think so.
I think they did.
Oh, Illinois in 2005.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, it's not that the Big Ten's not even competing for Final Fours. I don't think this is like a Pac-12 football level of concern.
Yeah.
But it is a cause for concern because these lists and these kids, it's not that they're all going to Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas. Like, Arkansas had two guys on the list. Alabama, two guys on the list.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hotbed for college football, not college basketball. But you look at it, and those guys are on there from the SEC. Auburn, number one in the country right now in terms of the rankings in the men's basketball side. And you look, you know, while we really like to look, let's take Purdue, for example, and how they recruit. And it's very good for Purdue's program and how they fit. But, and maybe we'll get the answer as soon as this March and April, do they recruit at a level that they're capable of winning a national championship at? And I think that's the question that you can present to a multitude of Big Ten programs.
Yeah, and again, it's not that the Big Ten's not recruiting well. They're not recruiting at an elite level. I think they have like one top 50 recruit, you know, coming in. And IU had a five-star, and he seems like a borderline five-star, depending on the recruiting services, with Caleb Hood-Schifino, who is the class of 23 coming in next season for the Hoosiers. He would have been the only player really notable to make it. And, and this also comes on the heels of Michigan State having a couple top 10 guys who then decommitted and went to Memphis.
Yeah.
That are, you know, current freshmen with Imani Bates and the other guy, I can't recall his name. But so, again, cause for concern, yes. Is this a problem? I'm not sure.
But you also look at it as, you know, the Big Ten does not have a lot of programs that specialize in one and dones. And you look at, you know, the Dukes and the Kentuckys, Kansas, Carolina, and then you look at also at maybe some of these lesser known programs, these SEC programs that welcome that because they're getting an impact recruit. You know, maybe what I'm saying is maybe the majority of these Big Ten programs don't need those guys. But to your point, 22 years since the last national championship.
And we look at last year's roster. You had a couple of guys from Michigan who were McDonald's All-Americans, Max Christie from Michigan State. So they weren't shut out last year. Now, if this was happening year in, year out, be a lot more cause for concern. You know, you go back to 2020, and obviously they didn't play the game in 2020, but you look at the list, and in 2020, there were none, actually, on the list. So it is something that you have to think about and wonder, you know, why is the Big Ten not recruiting at a high level? Like you said, one and dones. Not as many of those guys, but there just aren't as many one and dones compared to what we saw at peak, you know, Kentucky 10 and even 5 years ago. That kind of culture shifted to maybe more schools like Memphis. And then you go back to 2019, Trace Jackson Davis is now at IU, one of the guys on the list. And again, that's it. So,
and you know, maybe this goes, this is an interesting, you know, discussion because I talked to my dad, who used to be a big IU basketball fan. That's where I got it from as a kid. Hasn't watched college basketball in years. They're down in Florida, Snowbirds. Had a guest down there that stayed with them for a week that wanted to watch the Indiana-Michigan game. They had it on. And he said that was the first real basketball, college basketball that I had watched in a couple years. And he said, you know, it was so NBA-like in terms of transition basketball and the amount of threes thrown up and just no real half-court game. And I think there's a legitimate, you know, cause and effect with the NBAization of college basketball. And you have the top athletes, the five-star, the majority of them, trend towards those programs. They want to go to programs that are going to best prepare them for the NBA, whether that be for a year or 2 years or whatever. And I think then you're seeing those programs more often than not compete for national championships. You know, you can point to, you know, 10 years ago, Gonzaga was the outlier, the upstart, right? Butler was. You could watch them and, you know, okay, this is how college basketball is going to be. But Gonzaga, you watch them now, they look very much like the Dukes and the Kentuckys. And they may not have as many of those types of athletes, but they play that style anymore. And I feel maybe that's, you know, maybe part of the reason why the Big Ten isn't getting these, because not many of those teams have bought into that style.
Another thing to look at is, you know, where the high school programs these kids are coming from. Looking at the list, you have Sierra Canyon. That's where LeBron James kids go. It is, I think, a private school. Yeah, it's a prep school. Duncanville High School, Duncanville, Texas. That's in the Dallas area. It's a public school, but they're a basketball powerhouse. Not a surprise. Prolific Prep, IMG Academy, Sunrise Christian Academy, Westtown School, another prep school, Oak Hill Academy. If you follow college basketball, a lot of great players have come from Oak Hill Academy. Cane Ridge High School, that one in Tennessee. Okay, you have a public high school. Montverde Academy in Florida. Link Academy. La Lumiere, you know, in Northern Indiana, LaPorte. That's J.J. Starling, who's going to Notre Dame. And then looking through a couple others, Archbishop Spalding High School, a Catholic school, a couple of players, again, from Sierra Canyon. You have a couple other public schools, but most of this list, I'd say two-thirds, even three-quarters, are coming from prep or private schools.
It's interesting debate. When you look at this state, the amount of top recruits in this state that go prep by the time they're a senior is considerable. It's on the rise. And I feel like that's the case in different states as well. So how that affects that, I'm not really sure. So a variety of things. I don't know what to take out of it, what it means, what it doesn't mean. All we can say, based on facts, is the fact that a Big Ten team has not won a national championship for 21 years. And after, if they don't this year, it'll be 22. Is this part of it?
It's not helping. That's for sure.
Right.
And while they had a few guys on there last year to only have one in 2019, have none this year, it feels like the elite level guys are going elsewhere. And again, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, no one's going to bat an eye at players going to those schools. But when elite guys are going to the LSUs, the Arkansas, the Alabamas, schools like that over elite Big Ten programs, it gives you cause for concern.
I would agree. 46862 is the text line, 46862. Reach out, let us know what you think about this and all the topics we're talking about today. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Mark Grody of 670 The Score out of Chicago will join us. We'll get an update on the higher of Ryan Poles as general manager with the Chicago Bears and also where they stand in terms of hiring a head coach. All that and more when we come back. You're listening to The Sports Rush here on 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. Welcome back to The Sports Rush. Justin Kenny, Caleb Hatch here on a Wednesday. Brett Rump, we expect to be back tomorrow. Just feeling a little off today, so I got the call from the Pen to come in and sub for Brett, but hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. Coming up tonight on 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM, Pacers Hornets at 6:30. Notre Dame, NC State, 9 o'clock tip-off following Pacers basketball. We talked some Colts football earlier. Let's talk some Bears football now with Mark Grody from 670 The Score in Chicago. Mark, how are you?
Hello. What's going on, guys?
Nothing much, Mark, and the Bears have made a hire for the general manager spot. It is Ryan Poles from Kansas City, and I'm sure the McCaskey family hope that this hire from KC works out a little bit better than the last one. So what can you tell us about Poles and what really sold the McCaskeys on him?
Well, we don't know yet what sold the McCaskies on him because we have not had a chance to talk to them. Presumably, we will sometime, probably within the next 48 hours, we'll get to talk to Ryan Poles and maybe some of the representatives of people who hired Ryan Poles, and hopefully by that time, a new head coach, which I'm sure we'll talk about in this interview as well. But, yeah, I mean, I think that Ryan Poles is a guy who, when you look at his resume, there is nothing that's unlikable about it. As you mentioned, the executive director of player personnel, he rises to that position over his 13 years with the Kansas City organization, which obviously has been pretty successful over the last decade or so. He has had a chance to work with several different types of people in that organization, names we all know, like Scott Pioli, John Dorsey, obviously with Andy Reid. So he has seen a lot from different trees, if you will, in the NFL. So I think that experience and having those different voices will be helpful, whereas somebody like Matt Nagy, who you mentioned, the only voice he had in his ear ever was Andy Reid, which was obvious when he came to the Bears because he tried to do everything like Andy Reid in terms of running an offense and just the way he would run a practice for that matter, too. But, you know, as for Ryan Poles, he checks a lot of boxes that look good, except for the one big one that he doesn't check is he has never done this before. And so that's where the gray area exists for everybody.
You know, Mark, in hearing things out of Chicago, it sounds like Ryan Poles wants to be the point person for the head coaching hire, or at least he wants to approve, and that makes sense. But, you know, in terms of this hire yesterday by Ryan Poles, you know, could we see maybe a step back from the head coach, based on the search, based on where Ryan Poles wants to go? Or do you feel like the Bears are still in a position where a hiring is imminent?
Well, I do think a hiring is imminent, and so it's in part for Ryan Poles in terms of what kind of autonomy he has in hiring. What I know is that there's three candidates that he will have interviewed, and those are Jim Caldwell, Matt Eberflus, who is the Colts DC, and Dan Quinn, you know, former head coach and Dallas defensive coordinator, used to obviously work with the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the thing is, all three of those guys have already been interviewed by the Bears, and specifically George McCaskey and his crew. So while it appears that, and Ryan Poles is conducting the second interviews, like you said, but it's almost like he's sort of been pointed in a certain direction, like, hey, here's some guys we like. We'd like you to choose with these three guys. Now, is it possible that he has been told, hey, as George McCaskey, the Bears chairman, said to Ryan Poles, is there anybody else you're interested in? And if so, can we set up an interview? And, you know, you could do that. We don't know that, but it does look like on the surface with the information that we have that has been suggested to Ryan Poles in some way, shape, or form that Caldwell, Eberflus, and Dan Quinn are really, really strong candidates in their eyes.
And Mark, when you look at those three, you look at Jim Caldwell, former coach, you look at Dan Quinn, who's been a former coach, and you look at Matt Eberflus, who is not, but has extensive experience in the NFL in a variety of jobs. Is experience important in terms of the next head coach of the Chicago Bears, considering Matt Nagy's inexperience?
Yeah, I would think, you know, that's the way organizations work, and probably the Bears specifically. They hire one type of coach 1 year, and then typically you go the antithesis the next year, whether that is experience or side of the football, whether it's offense or defense. So I think that, yeah, I think that would make sense, that the Bears would be a little bit more interested in experience as it pertains to their head coach. However, to kind of take the other side of that, they just hired Ryan Poles as the GM, who is a first-timer, as I said, doing this gig, being in charge of a 53-man roster. And Ryan Pace was exactly the same. They were about the same age. They had similar experience in two different organizations. So they didn't really hesitate when it came to the GM hiring essentially the same profile. So, you know, with head coach, maybe they're a little bit closer to the team, and maybe the McCaskies put a little bit more stock into the power that a head coach can have on young men and a 53-man roster and development. And so I think that that all goes into it, perhaps with the head coach. And, of course, the number one development project for the Bears still is number one with a bullet, and that's Justin Fields.
Mark, when you look at Ryan Poles, obviously the biggest decision he has to make right now is on a head coach. But after that decision is made, what are some of the choices or big things he's going to have to address right off the bat?
Yeah, I mean, I think right off the bat, a couple of things. I mean, I mentioned Justin Fields, so that's a biggie. The you know, there are some decisions that eventually have to be made on guys like Roquan Smith, and do they want to give him an extension, picking up the fifth-year option? Same deal for one of the Bears' starting guards on the offensive line, James Daniels. There's still the lingering question of Allen Robinson. Does the door open up a crack now that it's, there's going to be a different GM and a different head coach? I don't know. I mean, that might be something that, you know, that Allen Robinson, the decision that he made a long time ago on what he is going to do. The Bears do have the power to bring him back if they decide to on the franchise tag, but I don't see them doing it for a second straight year. But I think that those are decisions that will have to, that yes, will have to be made right off the bat. You have Akeem Hicks as well. It sure seemed like it was official that Akeem Hicks that was not going to find his way back to the Bears. But does Ryan Poles maybe look at him differently? Does he look at Akeem Hicks and say, what are you talking about? This guy needs to be around for a couple more years. So I think that that's just sort of scratching the surface of what he is going to have to do, Ryan Poles. But those are the things that, when you ask that question, that just jump immediately to my brain.
Yeah, you mentioned Akeem Hicks, and it was kind of weird there late in the season in terms of his relationship with the previous regime. But also up front, I felt, you know, the Bears maybe had some depth there, and Robert Quinn had a great year. But do you expect going into the fall, the bookends with Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack, both of those back for the Bears next year?
I do, yeah. I mean, I can't see at this point. Obviously, we know Quinn and what he did last year, so I consider that a non-starter. With Khalil Mack, there's been a little bit of buzz about the possibility of, you know, exploring the trade market for him, seeing what you can get, being that the Bears are kind of in that awkward NFL stage. Is it a rebuild? Is it a reboot? What do we have going on here? And obviously, there's a ton of value there. But I think that Ryan Poles and whomever the head coach is, and all three of those guys, at least two out of the three, definitely defensive guys, Ryan Poles is going to have to make that decision. And I can't see, if I'm a new guy coming into an organization and they say, okay, here's the roster of guys that you have, I'd have a really hard time thinking that new guy coming, you know, first thing I want to do is get rid of Khalil Mack, you know, one of the generation's greatest quarterback sackers. And look, I know that he's been kind of on a weird slide. They finally shut him down this past season. But yeah, that would seem an odd decision to make. I mean, it would be a gutsy move. I mean, I'd have to obviously review it from every angle to see if maybe it would be a good move. But I if I came into an organization and I had Khalil Mack, I'd probably want to keep him around.
Yeah, I don't think you want to make that kind of move with that fan base. They're automatically on the wrong foot for sure. Whether it's a winner or a loser in the long run, definitely a tough move to make. All right, buddy, we know you got to get going, but appreciate you joining us, and hopefully to catch up with you soon.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great day.
That was Mark Rohde, 670 The Score out of Chicago, talking all things Chicago Bears, and the newest general manager for the Bears, Ryan Poles from the Kansas City Chiefs, takes over for Ryan Pace, and it sounds pretty likely that the Chicago Bears, their next head coach will be out of one of the three from Jim Caldwell, Dan Quinn, and Matt Eberflus. Of course, if the hire is Matt Eberflus, that puts the Indianapolis Colts on the market for a new defensive coordinator, and it sounds like the hire could come by the end of the week at this point, as Ryan Poles has kind of taken control of the hiring process, but is sticking with the three guys that the McCaskey family has kind of centered on here over the last several days. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. It'll be more with Caleb Patch and myself here after the break. You're listening to The Sports Rush here on 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. Welcome back to The Sports Rush, and thanks to John Kaufman for bringing us out of the break. And Purdue Fort Wayne will actually play on Sunday, but the game was moved up. They're supposed to play at Wright State. Game was moved up because the Bengals in the AFC Championship game That game will kick off a little after 3 o'clock on Sunday. So Wright State moving the game up with the Mastodons on Sunday to try to get that game in, then watch the Bengals potentially play for a berth. Well, they are playing for a berth in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and speaking of the Horizon League, some news today. UIC, the University of Illinois Chicago, moving to the MVC, the Missouri Valley Conference. Their last day in the Horizon League, June 30th of this year. Then they'll be a member in all sports July 1st. I think I'd seen this rumored elsewhere. I don't think this is a surprise at all.
Yeah, but it's always tough. You know, it's always musical chairs and conferences. You know, a lot of the headlines are around college football, but definitely impacts in college, other college sports as well. So UIC exiting the Horizon, we would expect the Horizon then to look for another potential team to join the league starting in the next year or two. Sticking to college basketball, Chris Mack of the Louisville Cardinals is out of the men's basketball coach job. Signed in 2018, had a $12 million buyout, but the two sides negotiated a lower amount as part of the agreement. This had been kind of been building for a while, Caleb. You know, Chris Mack was out the first six games of the season. Louisville's 6-8 since he came back. They dropped to 11-9 after losing at Virginia on Monday. Malik Williams from Snyder was asked after the loss to Notre Dame on Saturday whether players were still responding to the coaching staff. And Malik Williams, quote, "I don't have a comment for that," which is not necessarily a blessing on your coach. So,
no.
You know, Chris Mack steps away. You know, last season went 13-7. Louisville missed the NCAA tournament. You know, they started 9-1 last year, but fell apart. There was alleged violations of the program under Mack. That's why he had to sit out the first six games of the season, or first six games of this year. My question would be, we're seeing this in the college football side where coaches are being dismissed mid-season or not until, you know, before the season's over. Could we see this happen now more and more, Caleb, on the college basketball side? Because this feels like a rarity.
You know, I'd like to say yes, but Will Wade still has a job. Bruce Pearl still has a job. I don't see it.
Really? You don't think this has become more and more of a trend?
Because those guys are winning just enough or recruiting at a just high enough level for those schools to keep them and deal with it. And look, I don't know how Will Wade still has a job. Just completely honest.
Yeah,
I don't know how, with everything that went down with that athletic department, with the Les Miles situation, with the athletic director, it baffles me. And, you know, Bruce Pearl has had numerous run-ins over the years.
Yeah, but he's also number one in the country right now.
Yeah. And how do you get guys like that? By doing things under the table.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you advance it. Anytime you see a school in college football that's out of nowhere is really good all of a sudden, and you kind of wonder, like, huh, that's kind of weird. And we saw that with Baylor and the Art Briles era.
Right.
Most specifically.
Well, you know, Auburn knew what it was doing when it was hiring Bruce Pearl, who's not squeaky clean by any means.
Correct.
But Bruce Pearl is living up to the deal right now by being the number one team in the country with the Tigers. And quite frankly, Bruce Pearl really couldn't care less if after the fact he's punished, because usually it's the program that gets punished, not the coach. But when you look at the potential candidates to replace Chris Mack in Louisville, Bruce Pearl is on that list, along with Mick Cronin from UCLA, Chris Holtman from Ohio State, Nate Oates, of course, he's that sexy name that was thrown in for the Indiana job.
The Alabama coach.
Yes.
Which, why would he leave with the way they're recruiting and success level they're having?
You know, Eric Musselman with Arkansas.
Same deal. Why would he leave?
You got Kevin Willard at Seton Hall, Dana Altman, Oregon, Ed Cooley, Providence, Brad Underwood at Illinois. He was a guy that, you know, for a while was maybe on the outs in Illinois.
Yeah, until last season.
Yeah, turned it up last year. Illinois, a fringe top 25 team this year. So I could see this becoming more and more a trend in college basketball. Now, the amount of money that's on the line isn't as big as college football, but it is still a huge moneymaker for athletic departments. And I could see more and more programs going this route of, hey, mid-January, late January. It's not working. We're going to dismiss Chris Mack or our coach earlier. I feel like this may be an exception because all indications were the players had just drowned him out. They weren't listening to Chris Mack anymore. And Malik Williams' quote from last Saturday was a test to that.
And Louisville is a great job. It's crazy how far they've kind of fallen off since.
Are you talking Louisville or Indiana? Because that sounded just like you were talking about the Indiana Hoosiers. It's a great job, and it's unbelievable how much they've fallen off.
Well, yes, I'm talking Louisville, but I mean, at least Louisville's won a championship this century.
Ouch.
So I'll give them that. And look, they don't have Rick Pitino anymore.
But
those days are over.
Would he come back?
I don't think so. But that's a great job. You have great facilities. It's a basketball school. Yes, they've had success in football in recent years as well. But that job is set up to walk in and recruit at a high level. And they've always been kind of one of those, not blue blood, like first tier.
And they're
schools,
in that second tier
second
blue
tier,
blood.
Solid, yeah. Solid second tier.
Would you put Purdue in the solid second tier of blue bloods?
Yes.
I would too.
Like, I mean, these are your Michigan's, your Michigan State's, your Purdue's, Louisville. And I'm trying to think of other schools that have had more success recently. I guess UConn you could throw in there.
Sure.
As one of those schools that are kind of in that second tier. But it's a program that you can have success. You can recruit at a high level.
Arizona?
You throw Arizona? Them in there? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying Rick Pitino, Iona, 17-3 this year.
They're having a great
year.
It's
his third season. He's done, you know, has he done everything he possibly could at Iona? Louisville needs somebody to come and right the ship. I'm just saying.
No chance.
Really?
No chance.
Okay.
I mean, think Rick's happy.
Athletic departments have very short memories. Just say that.
I would say that, but with how everything went down, I don't give it a chance. And wanted to get back to before we wrap up, we had a couple texts. We had a good discussion on something that, you know, I didn't realize was kind of more of an issue than I thought, but some good feedback from people on the Big Ten and the McDonald's All-American game. No Big Ten recruits named to the McDonald's All-American game this year. There were, three last year? One in 2019, none in 2020. So you have something that looks like it might be a problem as far as the Big Ten recruiting at a high level for basketball. And we know they are for football. That's not a concern. A couple of texts coming in on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. First one says, how they seed the Big Ten to play each other early on in the tournament doesn't help either. Plus, North Carolina and Duke always get to play in North Carolina and Kentucky in Kentucky.
Well, I mean, part of that is
earned.
If you're a top seed or close, you're probably going to play close to home.
Yeah, that's just the reality. And if IU Purdue are one seeds, then they would probably play in either Indianapolis or Chicago or Louisville or Detroit. You know, it seems like they would get that opportunity. Then another text that came in at 46862. One thing that I think has affected the Big Ten in basketball recruiting is name, image, and likeness money. The SEC and Southern schools have proven they're willing to dish out money. It doesn't seem like anybody but Ohio State football is willing to hand out big bucks yet for Big Ten schools.
Well, I don't think it comes really necessarily from the schools, but boosters or supporters of those schools. And I think you're already seeing it. You know, I saw a headline, you know, Texas A&M was ranked as the number one recruiting class for college football in 2022, or this past, you know, recruiting season, or I guess it's still going on, the second signing day coming up next month, and upwards of $1 million had been spent to lock in that recruiting class for Texas A&M. Name, image, likeness, money.
Well, in the Big Ten, I mean, look, IU has Mark Cuban, Purdue has millions of engineers, Michigan State.
Astronauts?
Yeah, Michigan State has Dan Gilbert, Quicken Loans guy,
yeah,
who I believe he still owns the Cavs, and they have a couple other prominent donors who are paying for Mel Tucker's contract.
Yeah,
I mean, you can go on and on and on. I mean, they're fans,
yeah,
who are alums or booster types for every university in the Big Ten who could provide a significant chunk of money and designate it just for NIL deals for players to help in recruiting. You just have to see the schools kind of take advantage of that. And some of these schools have NIL programs already set up. I think IU definitely has one. I believe Purdue does as well. And will coaches maybe even get to a point where they're in their contract, they build in NIL money that they can dole out to help seal the deal on some of these top recruits?
Definitely a different world coming for college athletes. That's for sure. No matter how much or how little it is, being able to make money on the side, and it's big money. I mean, it's huge money at some of these well-known programs, specifically in college football. So definitely a game changer. We're already seeing the effects of it, and I think it's still going to separate, you know, the haves and the have-nots even greater than what, you know, has previously been. But, you know, I feel maybe it's weird because while you don't need as much in terms of impact on the college basketball side because the rosters are smaller, I feel like that then makes the difference between the haves and the have-nots not as big. And so you can have, and that's why I still think March Madness is so exciting, because unlike the college football playoff, you're not locked into one or two teams having a shot to win the national championship, or at least at the very least knocking off a national championship contender.
Yeah, you're not going to get, I mean, Cincinnati making the playoff was about as much of a Cinderella story we're going to have in the college football playoff in its current iteration. I mean, that's as far as it'll go.
I mean, you could have had four teams, eight teams, 12, 16, 32, 64, 90. It doesn't matter. Georgia and Alabama were going to play for the national championship, in my opinion. Like, that, like, no matter what happened the last couple weeks of the season and all that, most people knew, like, those are the top two teams in college football. And by gosh, they ended up playing for the national championship. Whereas you put 68 teams in a bracket in college basketball, it's not a guarantee. And even the teams that win it, their most seasons are most years are escaping a first or second or third round game. And sometimes they even get clipped. So, you know, that's why I think it's still endearing to watch the college basketball, you know, March Madness, the tournament, because there's still a lot can happen. And there's, to me, a little bit more intrigue than what we would get in an expanded college football playoff. I still like college football more, though. Maybe I'm the dullard. But we're going to wrap up the show when we come back, take our final break. You are listening to The Sports Rush here, Wednesday edition, here on 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. The Pacers will try to end a two-game losing streak tonight. They'll play the Hornets, and they'll be shorthanded due to a variety of issues. You can hear that game here on 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM at the bottom of the hour, 6:30. Following that game, it'll be Notre Dame and NC State. 9 o'clock tip-off. It'll be joined in progress following Pacers basketball. Brett should be back tomorrow. You can also hear me tomorrow evening with the High School Coaches Show at 6 o'clock. Thank you to Mark Grody for joining us. Thanks to Kevin Bowen as well. Man, everybody stay warm outside. Another frigid night coming up, but tomorrow you'll have Brett back in the seat to take you home on a Thursday. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks to Caleb Hatch for producing. Mark Grody was good talking Chicago Bears. But everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you tomorrow night. This has been The Sports Rush, 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.